Welcome to the Empowering Women Got a Minute podcast, sharing how women find empowerment each and every day. Join our host, Brianna Hinkle, as she chats with guests to see what drives them in their careers, hobbies, and family in just 20 minutes or less. So now take a minute with us and feel empowered. Sponsored by Suze's Prescott Center for the Arts, providing service to community, entertainment, and resources for everything art-related. For upcoming shows and more information, visit www.pca-az.net. Today, we are talking with Haley about wearing multiple hats. Haley Ann Fernandez is a 22-year-old Prescott resident, born in Brooklyn, New York, who is a self-proclaimed Arizona transplant. Haley is currently studying at Prescott College. When she moved across the country to pursue higher education at Prescott College, she quickly fell in love with the community. She began to immerse herself in service work with local nonprofits such as the Prescott Community Cupboard Food Bank and the Western Heritage Center. Haley is an education specialist for GEM Environmental and Challenge Course Facilitator at Camp Way. She has held the titles of Miss Prescott 2022, Miss Granite Mountain 2023, and Miss Peoria 2024 in the Miss America organization. As Miss Peoria, Haley uses her platform to share her community service initiative, L&T for You and Me, where she teaches young children through high schoolers social-emotional skills like empathy, compassion, and boundary setting through Leave No Trace practices. Well, hello, Hallie. We would love to take a minute to chat with you today about the art of wearing multiple hats in both your personal and professional life. And according to your bio, you certainly wear a lot of hats, currently from Miss Peoria 2024 to Education Specialist at GEM Environmental. What hat or hats will you be wearing today?
When you ask that question, Bree, do you mean just like in this day after we're done with this interview?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Like, what do you got going on today and what hats does that include? Metaphorical hats.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, the way I think about it, I leave all my hats on day in and day out. I've heard some people say before they feel like it's better for them to leave their work in just one section of their life and they don't bring work home. But for me, my work really just goes from everywhere, from working at GEM Environmental as an education specialist, as well as Camp Way as a challenge course facilitator. So I have two of those jobs, all the way to my master's degree in outdoor education leadership and being Miss Peoria. And so I always wear all those hats, but today after this interview, I'm going to be working at GEM Environmental for a little bit. And I'm currently working on a little bit of a collaboration between GEM Environmental and Miss Peoria, because my family at GEM, the not-for-profit in Prescott, it's an organization that works to make STEM more accessible for people of all different backgrounds and ages, and just making scholastic and workforce development opportunities in the sciences accessible. And so that's a lot of what I do as Miss Peoria as well. And they've been so supportive of my journey to Miss Arizona, which just fills my heart up to the brim. They've really been there almost every step of the way from my first title as Miss Prescott. And I'm trying to do a collaboration project right now where we're working with the Girl Scouts. And I actually am trying to develop my own hat for Leave No Trace with the not-for-profit I work for, as well as just the Miss Valley of the Sun organization, which is my organization for Miss Peoria. So I know that's a lot, but yeah,
I'm doing
all those things today.
I like what you said, though, about that you don't necessarily take off a hat, that you are consistently wearing all the hats at one time, because I think that's so true in people's lives when they love what they do and they love the organizations that they're surrounding, that you're always consistently, at least a little bit at a time, thinking of all of that, you know? So it is really hard unless you really want to divide out your life. You know, it's hard to take off those hats, especially as somebody that is so involved like you. I think I totally understand that, because I feel like I constantly wear all the hats.
Definitely,
And I mean, that
definitely.
also includes, my personal hat where I take, some dance
Yeah,
classes.
and I mean, there's something I feel like as I've gotten older, and I just turned 22, so I'm not even like part of the way there yet. But as I've gotten older, I've just felt a lot of pushback from other people in not being comfortable with the dualism that women have to offer. So that's not just me, it's not just one kind of occupation or career set. But in general, I never want to feel as though I need to hide that I really love being outdoors and that I'm passionate about educating people in the outdoors just because I'm also doing pageants. And I think that's something that I messed up, but it was good for me to mess up because I learned so much from it when I first started competing in the Miss Arizona organization. Because I felt like I needed to fit in this box, and I was trying so hard to fit in that box, and it wasn't working. And it wasn't until I realized that there wasn't any box to actually be fitting into that I was beginning to succeed and feel more confident in myself. And I was getting better feedback from judges and just community members as well, that they did feel like I was being really authentic and that made me a better role model. And so I strive to be the role model that I needed when I was little, because I had a lot of really incredible role models, but I'm a pretty specific one of a kind role model for myself and other little girls who are interested in all these different kinds of things, whether that be being in a male-dominated field and also doing something that's very, very feminine.
Sponsored by Victory Wealth Services, strategies for financial independence. For more information, call 928-778-1050. What a great balance too. And I think we've all struggled through our lives, and I know I've been there too, where you're trying to fit into a certain mold that you believe is what, I guess, what society expects out of you. But there is no mold. Like you said, there is no box. And if you become your true self and allow yourself to be open to that and allow others to be open to you as well, it's so freeing. But yes, I've seen where that people then really are drawn to you and to that energy because they know you're being authentic. And I think that is such an important thing for young girls to know. But it's a hard, that's a lesson that we all have to learn. But I think having role models such as yourself that are showing that combination of so many, aspects of your life and being able to be your true self through all of that is so important to those young, the young generation that's coming up after everybody. I think that's just amazing. And so how did you get involved in the scholarship pageants?
Okay, so when I was a little girl, I was really interested in competing in a competition like that. But I didn't really know where to begin. And my parents were really supportive of it, although they didn't want me going into like a beauty pageant. They didn't want me to be judged on my physical appearance as a little girl, which at the time I thought was so mean. But now I absolutely understand it because as someone who wants to be a parent one day, I would never want my little girl in that position where she feels as though people are judging her solely off of her physical appearance. And so my parents found an organization that did a natural pageant. And so it was really just based off of your speaking skills and your talent. And I did that for 2 years. I did two competitions, just two. And it was really fun, but it wasn't something that I felt like I really loved afterwards. I think mostly because I was a little girl and being in a competition is just like hard for a little girl. But my mom says she always tells me not to forget that because she thinks it gave me my little jump start when I started competing in Arizona. So for some more background, I was born in Brooklyn, New York. I'm originally from New York. So I'm always a New York girl, but I really, really do fully consider myself an Arizona transplant. This has absolutely become my home. I love being here. And so I'm a student at Prescott College. I'm currently in Prescott College doing this interview with you. And my dad was telling me to look for scholarship opportunities for Latino women because I'm Cuban and I need more scholarship. Who doesn't, right? So I started looking for those scholarship opportunities online and I wasn't really finding many. And then I found an article that definitely caught my eye, and it was about a young woman named Melody Pierce, who actually was our Miss Arizona 2023. So not our current, but the past year, 2022 or 2023. I always mix up the years for Miss Arizonas, especially since I've been doing this for a few years now. But I read this article about her, and the article was put out prior to her winning Miss Arizona, and she was talking about how she was going to graduate from ASU entirely debt-free because of the Miss Arizona organization and the Miss America opportunity. And I was like, whoa, that is absolutely insane. I didn't know that you could win scholarship money from doing a competition like that. As far as I knew, Miss America was still doing swimsuits and it was still very oriented around your physical appearance. And don't get me wrong, I love myself. I think I'm very beautiful. I think all women are very beautiful. And I think we have so many other really wonderful attributes that you can look at to see who's qualified for a role such as Miss Arizona. And so I started to read more and I saw that something that they mentioned in the article about how in 2018 they eliminated swimsuit and they made it all about your community service and really just the impact that you're trying to leave on your community. And honestly, I didn't know what kind of impact I wanted to leave on my community, but I knew I wanted to do something. And so I reached out to Carrie and Gage Brumbaugh, who are the executive and co-executive director of the Miss Yavapai County Scholarship Organization right here in Prescott. They are Prescott locals. And I remember being so scared that it was going to be like a very judgmental experience when they invited me to their house to look at paperwork. At the time, I had like a pixie cut that was bubblegum pink. I went through a lot of different styles. And that's what I'm saying before about just dualism in women. There's so many different ways that we can present ourselves. And at that time, I wanted bubblegum pink hair. And although I felt very confident with that, I felt like maybe that wouldn't be what they were looking for in someone they wanted competing for their competition. I walked in and they were playing corn. They were playing like metal. And I was so stoked. That was the most welcoming experience I could have walked into, was them playing some kind of like metal or rock and roll, because it made me feel so much more settled in terms of my nerves. And that's when I signed up. I signed up 2 weeks prior to the competition. I didn't win that competition. I've lost a lot more competitions than I've won, but that was really the start of my journey. And I caught the pageant bug as a result of that. And so I've been doing it now. This is my third year. So I've had a lot of growth since I started competing. And like I was saying before, I'm not the perfect role model. And I don't think anyone really can be the perfect role model. And that's what makes you a good role model.
That's right, because nobody's perfect.
And I went through so much trial and just figuring out who I actually am and then who I think others might want me to be. And I credit a lot of that growth to my parents, because I have the most wonderful, amazing parents in the entire world, but also those directors, Carrie and Gage, who absolutely started that journey for me. And yeah, I'm really grateful for that.
That's so exciting. And I love to see how far you've come, because I think I've followed a lot of that journey through Instagram mostly, and then meeting you in person at the Prescott Women Awards and being able to like interact in that way. But it's been so fun to kind of follow these journeys of local young women competing in these scholarship pageants. And I, I'm excited for your new journey as Miss Peoria. That's What an honor too.
It's so exciting.
Because if a young woman that's listening was interested in getting involved in pageants, what should they do today to start that journey? And I'm thinking more local based, I guess, but.
Definitely. Well, my opinion is that every woman should start on her local stage. And so for me, competing in the Valley, that really just meant that I wanted to expand my community service. I was doing so much work here and that work's going to continue. But I realized that there's lots of kids in the Valley who don't have as easy access to the outdoors as kids in Prescott do, since we have such a wonderful, amazing climate here. And that's really what drove me to compete out of Yavapai County. But yeah, if you're a young woman in Yavapai County between the ages of 13 and 28, we can absolutely start your journey today. The deadline to compete for Miss Yavapai County is actually November 4th. But if they were to send me a DM on Instagram, my Instagram is Hallie Fernandez or @MissPeoria_AZ. As in addition to that, you can also reach out to our directors at info@missyavapaicounty.org and we can get you started right there. I actually run a Miss Arizona gown closet. So it's for young women who maybe see competing or they see themselves not competing due to financial barriers. Because it can be so expensive to get wardrobe, right? And you want to feel beautiful and confident. You don't want some like yucky hand-me-downs that are maybe really out of style. I've collected some really gorgeous dresses in a variety of styles. And so if you are somebody who's thinking of competing, but maybe you feel kind of embarrassed to seek out help or you don't really know where to find those resources, you could absolutely come directly to me. I can help with wardrobe. I can connect you with Carrie and Gage. And I can also help you prep in terms of interview and just letting you know what this competition is going to be like on stage. My onstage question, actually, for the title that I just won, they were asking me what sisterhood means to me. And long story short, what I ended up saying was that I think it's really amazing that I've grown so much in this organization, that I'm now somebody who can provide that kind of assistance to a young woman who's seeking to compete or maybe trying to expand her skill set. Because when I came into the organization, of course, I had a few girls who would give me pointers here and there, but I did feel a little bit blind and I didn't really know what was going on. And I think it would have felt a lot more welcoming. And I mean, some other girls who decided not to compete, they might feel more welcomed if they had a woman like that who could mentor them through the experience. So if you're listening to this and you're between 13 and 28, I would absolutely love to mentor you in a sense and help you start your journey to the Miss America stage.
I love that. What a great place to start. And even just to reach out to you with questions, I'm sure, you know, that there's so many questions kind of leading up to even getting involved or knowing how to get involved or what to expect, you know, like a lot
definitely.
Don't even know what to expect.
I thought it was going to cost like thousands and thousands of dollars to compete on a local stage. I went in with a gown that absolutely did not fit me. If you look at my first walk in Miscavige County, I think it was 2021. It sounded like I had a bag of pennies following behind me because the dress, it was a gorgeous, gorgeous dress, but it was way too long on me. So it was making this crazy noise as I walked through the stage. But I think that's so fun too, because I did meet with a young woman before she competed for one of the more recent locals. And she was saying to me that she just doesn't think that she could win because of the fact that she was a newer competitor. And I was like, girl, you have so much more support and resources than I did when I started. Like, at the very least, you're not going to be walking sounding like there's a penny or a bag of pennies trailing you. So I think really just seeking out that mentorship in any way that you can is the best way to start. And even if you look at me and you look at things I stand for or just how I am as a human and that turns you off and you're like, Hallie maybe isn't my girl. Maybe Lexi is your girl. Maybe Alexis Niekamp is your girl that you want to get started with. Or maybe our current Miss Arizona, Miss Tiffany Ticklow. Like, it's really important too, I think, that we encourage women to go to women that maybe they can relate to in some way, shape, or form. Because it's a lot easier to get started when you see someone who maybe had a similar experience to you or looks like you competing on that stage.
Definitely. That's such good advice and a good way to kind of start those journeys. And then, so that kind of gives me or leads me to the next point about education, because this is educational as well as, you know, mentorship. But your career seems to be to include education at a number of levels, from student to teacher. What do you see next in your career? Because I know, are you currently working on your master's or did you finish your master's?
Yeah. So I'm currently working on my master's. Okay. I'm in the midst of it. In the thick of it, we shall say.
Yes.
Yeah, in the long run, I think in the next couple of years, like 5-year goal maybe would be that I want to be designing my own curriculum for schools across Arizona and the Southwest as a whole. I think it's really important that we are implementing environmental education into our science curriculum. And there's definitely some schools that are getting on board with that, but not all of them. And so it's really important to me to increase that in schools and kind of spread that mission of implementing outdoor environmental education. Because when we don't feel connected to the environment, and when children and young people don't feel connected to the environment, of course, you're not going to have any desire to take any initiative in environmental stewardship. Or maybe they'll be less interested in STEM because they don't see how the sciences relate to them. Science, technology, engineering, and math all do relate to our environment. They relate to different careers that are going to make our world more sustainable. And so I think it's really important that we're continuously encouraging young women, and I think, or young people, and I was going to say specifically young women, to pursue those kinds of careers. And so I see that as where my career path is going. I want to maybe work for the government. I recently went to a conference at the Arizona Science Center. And I think working in the government, some capacity to implement that kind of curriculum would be a really wonderful thing. But my long-term goal is that I do want to develop my own wilderness therapy program. And so it wouldn't be the way that we typically think of wilderness therapy. It wouldn't be somewhere where people have to stay I wouldn't really be working with youth. I want to work with adults and individual adults and couples who have experienced some kind of sexual trauma and have a wilderness therapy to reconnect them to themselves, to the environment, and to other people. Because when you have those kinds of experiences that are so traumatizing, you disconnect from your own body. And when you disconnect from your body, you're also disconnecting from nature. And I think it's really important that we're encouraging that kind of sense of self and self-exploration prior to connecting to other people. And I think we really find that when we do immerse ourselves in wilderness. So eventually I'd like some type of sex and love therapy in a sense. When people hear the word sex in sex and love therapy, they get kind of scared. I know it's taboo to say it like that. But I also want to make that less taboo because our bodies are something that we should be comfortable talking about with ourselves. No, we don't need to talk about it in school consistently, and we don't need to talk about it with people in the grocery store. But feeling connected to our bodies is really important in terms of self-love and just feeling like you belong on this earth.
Very much so. And I could see this with you, and I could see this future for you. I think that's so important because of everything, every aspect that you touch, you know, that kind of coincides with wilderness and heart and giving. I could see this happening for you because you also have another community service initiative, and you'll have to tell me a little bit more about it, but, and I might say it wrong. Is it LNT for you and me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And tell me about that.
Yeah. So my community service initiative that I specifically represent in the Miss Arizona organization, but I mean, that flows into all of my other jobs working at Campway as a challenge course facilitator and working with children, then also at the nonprofit GEM Environmental. LNT for you and me is really just teaching children socio-emotional skills like empathy, compassion, and just interpersonal communication through the 7 principles of Leave No Trace. So the 7 principles of Leave No Trace are a set of guidelines for minimizing our impact as human beings on the environment. And I think that when we're able to thoroughly understand those 7 principles and we can live those 7 principles, we gain a stronger sense of empathy and it's easier for us to connect to other human beings. So kind of like I was just saying with my future career path. And so the 7 principles, I'll go through them kind of quick. I teach them to children in like 2 minutes because I work at the camp and it's not a part of our curriculum at the camp. But as we're walking from one place to another, I'm like, do you guys want to learn something really cool? And they're all like, yeah.
I want to learn something really cool.
I think it's the cutest thing ever. So I started off and I'm like, this is a repeat after me song. And they all repeat after me. And then we go through it. I say, so rule number 1 is plan ahead and be prepared. Rule number 2 is travel and camp on durable surfaces. 3 is to trash your trash. 4 is leave what you find. So I tell them to take a little picture. 5 is minimizing our campfire impacts. But when I'm talking to smaller children, I typically say being safe with fire. Number 6 is respect wildlife or be kind to our wildlife. And then number 5 is sharing the outdoors with everyone. So making sure that we make other people feel safe in the outdoors. We don't make it feel like a threatening place. We don't try to like gatekeep it from other people. We want other people to feel safe outdoors because this is all of our land and we deserve to feel safe and have a sense of belonging here. And so I go through that in a cuter way than I just explained it to you because I have all these sweet babes repeating after me. But yeah, it's really important to me that I'm teaching those 7 principles because of the way that I see them play out in other areas of their life or their own communication. And I don't specifically, or I don't exclusively do that with small children. I can do it with people of really any age. I've done it in Prescott with people all the way up to probably like 90 years old. And it was something that I remember when I started it, people were asking me if I felt like it was controversial. Just with stuff with climate change and politics. And I said, loving the outdoors doesn't have to be controversial. And I really don't even need to talk about climate change either. It's really just us picking up after ourselves. Anything that your mother would want you to be doing in your own house, you know, like they're pretty, pretty simple things. But when we see outdoor spaces get trashed and we see trash everywhere, it feels like that space is already ruined. And so people feel okay contributing to that trash. And so I feel like my responsibility as a Leave No Trace advocate and just a self-proclaimed environmental steward is to teach children that, hey, it's not okay that we have all this trash out here. And if you see that trash out there, maybe even see your parent drop a bottle cap or something, you can say, hey, Dad, let's pick that up. And you just start doing it. And it has this crazy ripple effect. People see you picking up stuff and they want to get involved. And I've experienced that more times than I can count on my fingers, where I'm cleaning up and I'll have a stranger just grab something and add it to my bag. Because you feel kind of weird standing there when somebody else is caring for the environment. But
It's a
yeah,
little
that's
embarrassing
what.
not to get involved when somebody's out there picking up
No,
trash from the ground.
exactly. And I mean, this goes back around to what I was saying about being Miss Peoria, that it was important for me to compete for a title in the Valley. And I really didn't expect to win, in all honesty, which we can go back to after. But it was because I wanted children in a more urban area to understand that just because there's concrete all around you doesn't mean that there also needs to be trash all around you.
Exactly. And I love that because I know I do this and I have friends that we've talked about this, just bringing trash bags whenever you're going on a hike or to the beach or to certain things and then just picking up, you know, like you might not be able to get it all, right? You can't assume that, but you can do your part. And it's just about contributing to the best of your ability to do your part to save this lovely world that we live in. And I love your you saying that it's like, what would your mom want you to do in the house? Like, we're not leaving trash on the ground in your home. Well, the earth is our home. It's the
Yeah,
only
and
one we got.
that's something I emphasize, especially with like kindergarten and first graders, because it's kind of hard for them to understand the whole concept, and that absolutely makes sense. But I have this kind of analogy that I use, make it kind of metaphorical. I'm talking about how Miss Owl, that if Miss Owl and all of her little babies are nesting up in the tree, and then you start throwing trash in, that trash blows in the wind and it ends up in her living room, she's going to be really sad, and so are her kids. I said, what if your mom left the window open and there's someone leaving pounds of trash right outside of your window and it was all blowing in? They're like, mom would be so upset. And then they'll bring up their dog. They'll be like, Cooper. Cooper would be very upset if there was all this random trash inside. He likes going in the trash bags, but he doesn't want it just flowing around his space. And so I think this is just like an ongoing thing for me in terms of my own personal growth and just growing as an educator, but I'm always trying to come up with new ways to make my own curriculum more, not just accessible, but digestible, because I understand that kids learn in different ways. I'm working with so many different age groups, and so the same thing isn't going to work for a 5-year-old and a 15-year-old. But yeah, no, I really love it, and that's what I chose to represent in the Miss Arizona organization, because it's something I live in my everyday life, and I wanted it to be authentic and really true to myself and my being.
I love it. And we've actually come to the end of our podcast, but we're going to dive into something that we do with every guest on this show, rapid fire questions. And so, first off, what was your first job?
My first job, I believe, was at a place called Samba Bowls in Ridgewood, New Jersey. And so it was like a smoothie health food place. And I would have to make smoothies and smoothie bowls extremely quickly. So now I have absolutely no patience if I go into a juice bar because I would do it like that. So that was my first job.
So you know what it takes. So you go in there and you're like, well, if you did it this way, but you don't
I'm
want
like,
to say
I could
that.
get behind and I can make 5 bowls in less than 2 minutes. Like I got good at it.
I'm sure you did. Oh man, those skills that you'd get from like your first job, like mine was soft serve ice cream. So I can make a mean soft serve ice cream cone. Like it will always be perfect, fill the cone, you
Yeah,
know.
you see someone else doing it, you're like, this is unprofessional.
I'm like, no, let me show you.
Oh
What
my
is your
goodness.
favorite part of the day?
My favorite part of the day is really just whenever I get to rest and relax. I love all the things that I get to do, but I get really exhausted, I think, especially from interacting with people so much. And I've always considered myself an extrovert until I turned like 21, so the past year. And now I think I'm talking to people so much that I really do need my recharging time because my battery drains real quick. So I think just whenever I get to rest, whenever I'm done with all my stuff and I have all my ducks in a row and I can just chill at home and eat something delicious, that's my favorite part of the day.
Good time of day, like sweatpants and, you know, good food.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, sweatpants and delicious little treats.
I love it. And what is your favorite word?
Oh, Brie. Okay. I feel like this just changes every time that I think about this question. I don't even know if this is like a real, I guess like smush. I like words that are just like, ooh, sure. Juice is a nice word. I like when, okay, my favorite word when I'm around kids is cute. Because I think when a really cute kid refers to something else as cute, it literally just makes me like burst out into a million happy little stars. I think it's the most adorable, precious thing ever. So I'm going to go with cute, actually. When a cute child says the word cute.
I love that. I can just picture it and my heart's going, oh.
Yeah. No, it's so precious. Like we're doing a little nature hike and they're like, oh, that squirrel's so cute. And I'm like, no, you're so cute, little Jenny.
Everything's cute right now.
Exactly. Everything's adorable.
So Hallie, can you tell the listeners how they can learn more about what you do or get in touch with you? What is the best way to get in touch with you with all of your initiatives?
Absolutely. Yeah. So if you're really interested in hearing more about anything or trying to see how you can get involved from GEM Environmental, the nonprofit that I work for, to the Miss Arizona organization, you could send me a direct message on either Facebook or Instagram at @MissPeoria_AZ, or you can send me an email at Hallie, Halle, Ann, 2001@gmail.com. And I'd be so, so happy to hear from you. If you ever see me walking anywhere, you can say hi to me. I love meeting new people. So yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being a guest today.
Thank you so much for having me, Bree. This has been so much fun.
Sponsored by Pilera Health, guiding your way to wellness since 1966. The mission of Pilera Health is to provide accessible, compassionate, holistic healthcare that strengthens our community. For more information, call 928-445-5211. Thank you for listening to Empowering Women, Got a Minute? We hope you tune in next week, and you can check out any of our episodes at PrescottWomanMagazine.com. Talk to you later.